As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Hey, welcome to Love My Renovation Project. And if you've ever done a renovation, you know that it can tear a family apart if you're not careful with it. Project you're going to love, but most of them are smooth as silk. We found out over the years that out of 100 projects, 98 of them will likely go without a problem. Then you got those two nightmares. As people get into this for the first time and they find that they're first nightmares, they may be doing something wrong, or they got 98 more good ones that are going to be smooth to go right behind it. So we're going to be discussing all things regarding renovation projects, renovation loans with either the FHA 203K, the home style renovation mortgage, and the VA renovation loan products, just to name a few. We have about nine different renovation projects that we can help you with and work with you. We can work with you on any project for that matter. If you haven't already heard, some time ago, the VA started a renovation program up to $35,000 that still allows the borrower to get 100% financing and $35,000 included in that 100% financing. And I just found out that VA has come out now with their larger renovation project, which allows 100% financing or up to 100% financing and unlimited amount of repairs. So there's a lot of different products out there. I say veterans, you've got the VA loan, very little down, if any. And we also have in California, what we call the CalVet loan program. So if you've got a client that has little or no credit and they've got a lot of cash, CalVet with 30% down has zero credit check with 30% down. So if you've got a lot of cash, then you can get into a CalVet loan with 30% down and no credit check. They'll close in 10 days. Okay, if you have a question about your renovation project, and you don't mind discussing it on live radio, please call in. You can reach us at 888-627-6008, toll free, be part of the show. If you are shy or you don't want to discuss it in front of the world, you can get a hold of us at www.203k911.com, where you can pose a question in writing, please, so that we can answer you in writing and you have your documentation in front of you. There is also a phone number there to call if you should want to talk to us directly. Please don't call in during the show as far as the private number. So if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms, you can send us an email at radio@my203kconsultant.com. And in that case, in the next radio show, we'll address some of those issues. This week, we had quite a few, people write in to us and say, you know, I don't want to be on your show, but I would like to know the answers to these questions. And I think a lot of other people might too. So we're going to, if you'd answer them on your show, we'd be happy to take them that way. So one is, can I build an ADU using the 203K program? Now, not everybody knows what an ADU is, but it's an auxiliary dwelling unit. dwelling unit. In other words, an in-law unit. You got a single family house. Can you add a room for mom and dad to live out their years where you're close by and they can eat dinner with you and be close to your family and not put them in a home? Absolutely. Companies throughout the country have allowed ADUs to be added to their properties because the demographics are changing and the older people are living longer on their own and they don't really need the care that care homes offer. As our generation gets older, and I say ours because I'm 70 years old now, the people are living longer and they're still ambulatory. They're still having fun and out there doing their thing. The key is does your county allow it? And you can call down and ask them, do they allow ADU units, auxiliary dwelling units added to their under the zoning for single family house? And 99 times out of 100, you'll find that that is true. Maybe 100 out of 100. The next question that came through was, does the ADU make this a duplex? Well, the answer to that is a little more engaging. It's not necessarily. In most cases, you're adding additional living area and additional separated living area, but not adding secondary meters. In that case, it would not be counted or considered a duplex. If the zoning you're located in will allow the second meter, gas and electric, for instance, then it very well could be treated as a duplex, but it may require other issues. It may require zoning changes, or if not zoning changes, it may require use changes or permission. Might have to go down to a hearing at the local city or county and find out if there's any objections to you adding that second unit. Another question that came through was, we have a detached garage and we would like to add the ADU to that garage. Is that possible? In other words, they want to add living area to a detached garage. Is that possible? Well, yes and no is the answer to that question. No, typically, any living area added under the FHA 203K program must be have a common wall between that new living area and the main house. So if you've got a detached garage and it's sitting way out and back, chances are no, you won't be able to do an auxiliary unit on that particular garage. Now, we can also say yes, if the detached garage is close to the house and you can configure the new building, the new unit, so that it has a common wall with the main house, and then close that gap between the main house and the garage and add that additional unit that way, then you very well could be in business. So hang on one second. I got to organize my desktop just a little bit better here. Okay, one second. Sorry for the delay, the distraction. Anyway, I wanted to open two screens at the same time. So does FHA, so that was it on that particular topic. Next question that came through this week was, does FHA have an approved list of contractors? I probably get 5 or 6 calls a week from lenders, loan officers, that say, hey, Mike, I'm doing a streamlined or limited 203K, and do you have any contractors that you can recommend in a particular area? Well, 203K consultants are not supposed to recommend contractors. Could we? Sure, I guess we could, but I know HUD does not like us to do that. They don't like to be put us in that kind of liability situation. If we do recommend a contractor, are we sticking our neck out needlessly? So Do they have an approved list of contractors, however? No, HUD does not have an approved list of contractors. Now, a friend of mine, Paul Weldon, has a company and a business that he's built around 203kcontractors.com, where he actually goes out and vets contractors and puts them on his site. So if they're on his site, you know at least someone has recently looked at them and has trained them in such a way that they understand there's no upfront money for a 203k and so forth. Limited 203Ks, there is some upfront money, but there are other traps that contractors fall into when they start doing limited 203Ks. So do we have an approved list of contractors? No. Do I have a list of contractors who've been successful in the past? Yes. Will I share it with you? Not my job. I might not. Just depends on how you ask. If you expect it, then you're probably not going to get the answer you want. So next question that came through this week was, how does my contractor get paid for the work he completes? In other words, just what is that going to entail? Because my contractor's never done a 203K before. Now he doesn't mind doing it, and he doesn't mind not getting any upfront money so much. But when he does get some work done and ask for a draw, how long is that going to take? Well, me and a bunch of other consultants have been keeping track of who does the draws fastest and who does them very slow. Some of them do them so slow you don't want to do business with them. But you don't know that until your constructions get started, because as consultants, it's not our job to talk our customer down prior to the loan. So that isn't going to happen. So you may get caught. All we can do is work with you to try to get it done as quickly as possible. Typical turn times is anywhere from 3 days from the paperwork going in for that draw up to 3 or 4 weeks. 3 or 4 weeks is unusual. More common is 5 to 7 working days. So the contractor calls the consultant, says, hey, I'd like to get a draw for the work I have completed. We like to send out the draw paperwork in advance so that our contractor can have column 3 filled in advance of the draw, so we know what it is he's going to be requesting. Some consultants will actually make 2 trips out there. They'll do 1 trip, see what's drawn, make sure it's paid, make sure it's marked on column 3, and then come back and retype it all and then drive back out there. I don't do that. I don't get paid enough to make 2 trips out for 1 draw. So we bring the paperwork with us and we send it ahead of time. The contractor can fill it out on the first draw. They typically don't, or they fill it out with a pencil. I haven't figured that out because I can't accept a pencil one. I still have to redo the paperwork and put it in ink. Pencil doesn't scan well in most cases, and it's not permanent. Can be easily changed. So how does he get paid? He calls up, we set up an appointment, we go out and look at the product or the project with him. Once we agree that these 5 things are done, or those 6 things, or those 20 things are partially done, we can pay 100% on an item that's completely done. We can pay a percentage of each and every other item that's started but not completely done. If there's a change order, change orders can only be paid when they're 100% complete. So the way they write the change order is all important. If their change order is written to dig up the street and lay new pipe all the way to the house, bury it, and put an asphalt top on it, then it must all be done ahead of time, and that can be quite expensive and time-consuming, eating up all the contractor's cash. So anyway, we are going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after the break, if I can get down here to the place that I want to be, I will let you know the number. Please call in if you want to be part of the show to 888-627-6008. Toll free to be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
This is Mike Young. Thanks for coming back, for staying with us. We hope you'll be here every Sunday at 1 to 2 p.m. California time. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, then please go to 203konline.com and scroll down to our message center and type your question in there and send it off, and it'll be on next week's show. This is our passion. We love this product. We love helping people. And the combination has made us one of the largest consultants in the United States. So getting back to our question, how does a contractor get paid for work they complete? They fill out column 3 on the draw request form. It has 4 columns and signs the top of, the second line on the top, near the top of page 2, and the lien waiver. Then we walk around and we look at those items with the homeowner, hopefully. It's so much easier and faster to get the draws if the homeowner is present at the draw inspection. So we go through there together. If the homeowner says, no, that's not done 100%, it's done maybe 30% or 90%, then we make those changes in column 4 of the draw request form. So that's how the contractor gets paid. That's submitted to the lender along with photographs that we take at the time of the inspection showing how our position is on that item. If we've changed the amount, then that's reflected in the photographs usually. So then, let's see, what do we have? Next question was, this week was really full of a lot of questions, a lot of good questions actually. Can I use the FHA 203K program to renovate my fourplex where I live? I didn't realize a lot of people live in a fourplex, but yes, you very well can. In fact, we did one of our client advertisement years ago in 1998, and he advertised how to live rent-free in America, and they were selling fourplexes like they were popcorn at the theater. You can definitely renovate a fourplex. You can renovate all 4 units. You can buy a fiveplex and turn it into a fourplex if the zoning will allow it. One of our favorite projects was an 8-plex, 8 studios, that was turned into a fourplex. It had been vacant for 25 or 30 years. It had no copper left in it. No wiring, no plumbing. It had all been stripped out long before. Client bought that house for $2,500, which was the amount of money the lady owed for her taxes. By the time they fixed it up and rented it out, it was a cash cow. As a former lender, as a former investor, I can say that. Anyway, how can I use it to renovate my fourplex? Absolutely. As long as you're living in it, FHA requires owner occupancy. So if you have a fourplex or you're buying a fourplex, you might try a different program if it's an investor property. not the FHA 203K. But as a FHA 203K, you absolutely can renovate your fourplex. And the limits, the loan limits are really up there. They're in high cost areas like San Francisco, Marin County, Oakland, which is Alameda County, and Contra Costa County. Our fourplex runs financing up to $1.3 million. But you still have to appraise. So if you don't appraise, you're just not going to get there. If it appraises for $800,000, that's the max, less your 3.5% down. Also heard this past week that Fannie Mae has a new program with, it used to be a 5% minimum down payment. Well, now there's 3% down payment. So you, if you're in that 3%, if you're under 20%, Fannie Mae will charge you PMI or private mortgage insurance as well. Next question that came through this week is, can I add on to my existing home with a 203K? Absolutely. You can do that with a home style too, or either one. You can do it now with the new VA product too. So what does this do for the realtors? Well, it adds inventory, a lot of inventory. So your buyer comes to you and wants a four-bedroom, two-bath house, and there's none of those available. Look for something smaller that you can add on and make it what they want. At least part of what they get is going to be a brand new portion of the house. So can I add on to my home? Absolutely, you can add on to the house. Can you add a detached living area? No, you cannot. It must be attached with a common wall to the existing home. Then I got an interesting call, which I haven't heard of in a long time. I have a chance to pick up a house for $1, but I have to move it to a new location. Whenever you have the state or a county or a city by eminent domain taking over a bunch of houses, the appraiser is going to appraise those houses to come up with a sell price or purchase price from the state entity or the government entity. And that's going to be based on the highest possible price that property could be sold for. Not typical. So when they do that, they have those houses now that they've identified or have to be demolished or removed. So if where a builder might take $10,000 to tear a house down, he can sell that house for $1 and save himself $9,999 by having somebody else move it. There are stipulations. You can move that house, but during the move, first off, HUD has to send somebody out there like a consultant or one of their engineers from the local HOC, which is H-O-C for Home Ownership Center, and look at that house to be sure that it's physically capable of being moved safely. In this particular question we had, the client found a vacant lot just 3 blocks away from where he's buying the house. So they only have to move the house 3 blocks. Well, under the 203K guideline, that remains the responsibility insurance-wise, liability-wise, of the mover until it's set down on a permanent foundation on the new property. So, yes, you can move the house and all the transportation fees and everything can be paid. Was you would create, once you had the deal in place, you'd create the new foundation on the new lot. And then the mover would pick that house up, move it around to where it's going to be, and put it on top of that foundation and bolt it to the foundation. Now, whether they bolt it or your contractor, your general contractor, has his people bolt it down is immaterial to us. But until that is bolted down, the house remains the responsibility and is insured by the mover, not FHA, not the buyer, not the person buying this property. So once that house is set down and it's bolted to the foundation, you'd call for a draw inspection. In that draw inspection, the transportation fees would be authorized as part of the draw. And your general contractor would cut a check after he gets his check, cut a check to the mover for all the transportation expenses. Getting that house on the new lot and the bolting. Typical bolting costs for a standard size house, maybe a 1,200 square foot house, about $4,200 to bolt it to the new foundation. Then he gets paid for the foundation, of course. He could actually get paid for the foundation prior to that. As soon as the foundation is installed, he can get paid for the foundation and take a draw on that. So, next question that came through this week. My 203K loan closes shortly. My question is, when do I have to start making the mortgage payments? Do I pay on the renovation money as I use it? Or do I have to pay for it as soon as the loan closes, start making payments on the entire amount that I borrow? Well, they pretty much laid it out for me. Yes, you're going to have to pay. Since this is a one-time dispersed, fully dispersed loan, you're going to start making payments as soon as they are due on the entire amount. Now, the money that's setting aside in an escrow account is drawing interest for you. Of course, it's drawing interest at a much lower amount than you are paying for the loan. But you have to pay as you take the entire loan, you're going to be paying on the entire loan. The next question that came through this week, there's a lot of questions here today. Is there any way I can buy a house? Now, this was an American Indian I just happened to bump into and was talking to him about the 184 program, which is like the FHA 203K, but it's for American Indians. And he said, I only get $600 a month from my tribe. Is there any way I can buy a house? There might actually be a way by combining several people on one loan. I said, if you have other family members that want to go in with you and buy a duplex or triplex or a fourplex, you might couple two or three or four people in a together to get the money to purchase a house or a 2, 3, or 4 unit building, which is pretty cool. You're already living close together with a lot of people. So this might be a possible solution for you. If you want to talk more about it, then there are American Indian programs, the 184, and we do have some lenders that are very, very fluent with that loan. Looks like we've got maybe one more question from this week. And that is, the homeowner said, look, we found a perfect house for our family, but it lacks a swimming pool. And we really had our hearts set on getting a swimming pool. The kids are just devastated that we're even looking at this house without a pool. Can we build a pool with the 203K program? Well, the answer to that is no. I'm sorry, you cannot. However, you can do it with the Fannie Mae Homestyle. So the Fannie Mae Homestyle allows swimming pools to be added and patios, barbecue pits, and this, all the things that FHA doesn't allow, you can get with the Fannie Mae Homestyle loan. So we're going to take another short break here. If you want to be part of the show, please call us at 888-627-6008, and we'll stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203K Software. www.thebeatsofmetal.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Welcome back. This is Mike Young, talking about Love My Renovation Project. Of course, you don't love everyone you see, but or have, but most of them are pretty smooth. We got a call earlier this week from somebody who's having some trouble with their renovation mortgage, and the fella told me that says, my wife and I have almost divorced twice over this renovation project. I understand that. It can be hectic. That's why there's very little do-it-yourself, very little self-help projects in the 203K, because you need that contractor. You need somebody that you can scream and yell at, and you guys, the owners, stay on track with your partner. Stay happy, stay, and together, go attack the contractor if you need to. Most of the time you don't, by the way. I don't mean to imply that you do. So we're going to talk a little bit today about in the old days, many of our clients were investors, and investors are kind of neat because they get set up once and they can buy property after property after property. They can hold them for themselves. They can buy second homes under the Fannie Mae program, but it's called Home Style Renovation Mortgage. Investors cannot purchase properties under the FHA program. So you're going to be using the Fannie Mae Home Style program if you're doing investor properties. Fannie Mae program was built and designed for second homes and investor properties. You want to flip them? Flip them. I do believe they are one-time assumable. If not, they can be. You have to be qualified to purchase them through the same Fannie Mae guidelines as anybody else buying a house with Fannie Mae. So, but investors are a special breed. Today, they are not the same investors that we had back in the 90s. Totally different animals. Now, the reason I say that is because in those days, we had real investors. Today, we have people with real money, and they call themselves investors because they go out and they pay all cash for a house or an investment property, and then they turn around and pay all cash for the renovation. So there's no risk to them. They don't understand necessarily about closing and carrying costs. They don't understand a lot of things. If you're going to be an investor, you're going to take that same money instead of paying all cash, put a little bit down and turn around and do three or four of these at a time. That's an investor. At one time, we had over 300 rental units, commercial and residential rental units. So if you're going to be an investor and you're going to hold properties, you may want to talk to me. I can give you some good advice on how to keep, but I won't do it over the air. Anyway, so investors are a special breed. Lo and behold, every transaction since the beginning of time is all cash to sellers. Investors come in, your realtor has found a property for you, and they got an accepted offer when during that time before you're finishing all of your inspections and so forth, some investor comes in and he lowballs the offer. He says, you know what? I'll give you all cash. Well, every sale in America from the beginning of time is all cash to the seller. It always has been. But those words seem to resonate with many sellers, all cash. Then the next thing they say, oh, we can close this in 10 days. Well, those are two nice things for the seller, but you're taking it in the shorts as far as you're going to take a much less amount of money. And realtors tell me horror stories all the time that they've lost the deal because some all cash buyer has come in at the last minute and dropped the price $1,000. or $25,000 all cash right now. He'll put it in escrow, the whole amount. They close this deal in less than 10 days. Well, we coach realtors too. We have what we call our all cash to seller offer letter that has been very, very effective on keeping this product, keeping the home in your client's ballpark, in your corner, if you would. Well, we show the seller, yes, you can take $25,000 less for the house, or you can make $25,000 by waiting 20 to 30 more days to close escrow. Now, we're already into this thing 10 days. And so in another 25 days versus 10 days, that's 15 days that is out there that you're going to drop your price $25,000 or $50,000 instead of waiting that other 15 days and getting all of your money. When's the last time that seller made $25,000 in 15 days or $50,000 in 25 days or 15 days? Probably never. So if you talk to the seller, communicate, and your realtor may very well be able to keep this in your corner and let the sale happen as originally designed. While the 203K is just another tool for realtors, I personally think that that happens should be a renovation loan. If you're selling a home or buying a home, you have no idea what's under that new carpet. Well, the seller does, and sometimes it isn't nice. If you're buying a house and you think they've been living in it for 30 years and they put that new carpet in there to sell it, chances are they put that carpet in there to hide whatever's under it. I can't believe that people will live in a dump, but when they go to sell it, they're going to fix it all up. I don't believe in that at all. I believe in enjoy your home as much as possible as you would like to live in it. When it comes time to sell it to somebody who's going to do a 203K, let them put their own carpet, because believe it or not, I don't think that house is yours until you know what's underneath that carpet. We had the other one the other day, and it had brand new carpet in it, or relatively new carpet in it. It looked great. They had just shampooed it. It smelled wonderful. But when I told this story to the client, he says, you know, I really don't want to put a carpet in here yet, but I can smell a little bit of cat odor over in that far corner. And he went over to that corner and picked up the carpet on the corner and pulled it back about 5 feet. And it was a whole nother story. He said, oh my God, that's exactly what you just described. It was so much cat urine, piles, little puddles, little stains on the floor. Turns out that newer carpet was there to cover that up. And of course, the new scent that they sprayed all over that carpet to mask the cat odor was smelled great, but not when he peeled back the carpet. You could smell the cat very, very strongly. Years ago, I was doing an appraisal, and when I made the appointment with the client, she wasn't in, but I got her answering machine, and it said, hi, this is the cat lady. Leave a message, and I'll get back to you. I had no idea what a cat lady was. I heard about the Batman and the Catwoman, and I thought, well, maybe she's a little kinky. But when I finally made the appointment and I got out to the house and I pulled up in front, I'm looking at 50 or 75 cats sitting all over the front yard, all over the front porch, and I'm thinking, I now have a different idea what a cat lady is. This lady likes cats. So I walked into the front door, up to the front door, and I knocked. And she came to the door, but she only opened it a little bit. Hi, are you the appraiser? I said, yes. She said, all right, I want you to come in, but I want you to not let any of those cats in the house. And don't let any of the cats in the house outside. Okay. So I skinnied through the door and got into the living room where there was another 30 or 40 cats on every piece of furniture, sitting on the floor, laying on the furniture. And then I started doing my inspection, and as the cat reeked, I mean, the smell of that house reeked of cat. They were obviously marking their territory. I don't think she noticed it, but it was very noticeable. So I walked through room to room. There was cats in every room of that house. And I started to open what I thought was a closet. And she said, that's the basement door. I said, okay. She said, you need to see in there too? I said, yes, ma'am. I need to look at the foundation and kind of measure it up. So she said, okay, be careful. Don't let any of these cats out there into those, into the basement. And don't let any of the basement cats into the house. I said, okay. I was shocked to find another 50 or 75 cats in the basement. All the foundation vents were knocked out so that the cats could come in and out. So the cats in the front yard could actually come around and get in the basement with the other cats. But this lady had well over 100 cats. It seems to me there's something wrong with that. But when I was appraising it, that cat smell has to be eradicated when you sell that house. You can't just sell it. Nobody's going to buy it smelling the way it did. So I had to adjust for value for fixing that issue. It can be fixed. I'm not, but it's just something I don't want to deal with. I'm a dog person. I'm not a cat person, sorry to say. So anyway, you want to be sure and be aware of what you're buying. Make sure that you're looking at the potential for cat and animal stains. I know that when my kids were little, we had a couple of cats. They decided they wanted cats. So we got a couple of cats, one for each of them, until one day I came in and I saw one of the cats spray my couch. They became outside cats very, very fast. So anyway, let's look at another possibility for the FHA 203K. So you buy a house, homeowner finds a house, he just loves it, and the roof is marginal. Guess who's going to get sued if it leaks the first season? Likely the realtor, maybe a home inspector, who knows who else. On FHA projects, the appraiser has to comment that the house or the roof has at least a two-year remaining economic life. Yes, he's sticking his neck out, or they're sticking their neck out too. If they say it has a two-year life and it only lasts, you know, 6 months later, it's leaking, you're probably going to try to sue the appraiser too. On a 203K, the consultant has to state that the roof has a two-year remaining economic life, and that lets the appraiser off the hook because they can hang their hat on that. They said, it's not us. We're doing it as completed, and the consultant said it had two more years, so they're not really liable. So it lets them off the hook. So the appraiser's got a benefit to using a 203K. But that liability still is with the consultant. Now, the consultant, I know that as I'm the consultant and I go out to the house and it's got a marginal roof, and I say, you know what, this thing needs to be fixed, at least repaired, but I'd like to just replace it. And that way you got it for another 25, 30 years possibly, depending on what kind of roofing you put on it and what kind of roof jacks you put on it. Now, I used to manufacture all the roof jacks. We had my father and brother and I had a company that built sheet metal products, and some of our products included roofing, roof jacks, so forth, vents. And those vents weren't designed to last 30 years, or 50 years if you put on a tile roof. You're putting a 50-year roof, and then I see they're using the cheapest possible roof jack that you can buy, which is designed to last 10, 15 years tops. They put it on a 50-year roof. If you're going to the expense of putting a 50-year roof on, go to the extra expense of putting on the proper vents. Okay. So if this, wouldn't it just be easier if it's a marginal roof to just repair it under the 203K? So we recommend that it be replaced. And if it doesn't look like it has 2 years of remaining economic life, but once in a while, the homeowner says, you know what, I want to fix that next year. I don't want to fix it this year. I can fix it out of my own money next year. Well, it doesn't relieve us of the liability if we say it has a 2 year remaining economic life, and it doesn't relieve us from being sued if he talks us into that. So we don't want to do that. What we do, as they insist that this puts the house out of their range, they should go back and renegotiate the price by the cost of the roof at a minimum. So in that case, if they renegotiate the price, they can put a new roof. If they just are so adamant they do not want it and they don't want to go back and renegotiate the price, then we insist that they get a roof inspection by a licensed roofing contractor and do whatever he says. So if the roofing contractor says it's got 2 years remaining economic life, they usually say if you make these following repairs and put a dollar amount on it, then they will warrant it for 2 years. So in this case recently, the roofing contractor came out, looked and says, we'll make this watertight, give you a watertight warranty for 2 years for $1,500. And that was cheaper than a $15,000 roof. So the homeowner said, let's do that. So now it took shifted the liability back to the roofer where it should be. Okay. So let's see, where are we? Okay, we're running a little behind, so let's go ahead and take another break. It's our last break of the day. Please call us when we get back at 888-627-6008 to be part of the show. And we're going to go on break. We'll be right back.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
It's Mike Young. We're back with you. Again, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Feel free to ask any questions about your 203K projects or a 203K and homestyle loans in general. We're happy and to help you and answer those questions for you. If you have a question, there's likely another 10,000 people out there with the same question that just don't have the guts to call in and ask the question. So feel free. Nobody's going to bite you. There's no wrong question. There's no bad question. Let's make some fun out of this thing and get your questions answered at the same time. If you happen to be having an issue with your 203K or other type renovation project, and you just need someone to talk to that's knowledgeable and on your side, feel free to check us out at 203k911.com. We've helped hundreds of people, and most of them without any fee involved at all. So, you know, feel free to give us a try. You do not incur any costs. The first call is absolutely free, where we try to assess your issue. And if we can handle the problem and tell you how to fix it right then and there, we will. We are not so self-centered to think that we're the only ones that can fix it. You probably can. 99% of the problems that we're hearing about are merely a breakdown of the communication or a cease in communication between the borrower and the contractor. For one reason or another, they just stop talking to each other. Somebody gets mad, and somebody else gets mad, and they respond, and first thing you know, it's just a the worst possible scenario. Remember that your consultant is not your job superintendent. You are the boss. The homeowner is the boss. The homeowner hires everybody else, hires the contractor, hired the loan officer, hires the consultant. So you are the boss, like it or not. And if you're not the kind of person that can be the boss, then maybe we need to reevaluate that and hire a job superintendent. So in that case, it's never going to be the consultant. It would be a conflict of interest, in my opinion, for a consultant to become the job superintendent. Just last week, we heard from a potential client where the lender was actually taking sides with the contractor. We've had this happen time and time again. We had one not too long ago that the contractor in California filed a lien to get paid for work that, frankly, was substandard. Well, if that goes to lien, that's not a bad thing necessarily. So just filing a lien is not the end of the world. Now, I'm not giving you legal advice by any stretch of the imagination, but what we need to do is realize that filing a lien, just what does that mean? It means that he's saying if he doesn't get paid or that he hasn't got paid and he wants his money. So now he's going to take you to court to perfect that lien. So if he doesn't do that, in California at least, he may lose his lien rights altogether. Whoa, what does that mean? So he says you owe him $50,000 and you haven't paid it. So he files a lien against you. And after 90 days, if he gets you in court before a judge, then you have the chance to prove your case and possibly get back that you've paid him so far if he's doing substandard work. And many contractors try to get by. That's why when you're writing a specification of repairs, you want as much detail as possible. If you're putting in a lack, or if your bid specifications show a lack of detail, then it leaves too much open for interpretation from the contractor. And if you call out just for I need a new dishwasher. Well, a new dishwasher can be $400 or it can be $800. But a new dishwasher of a certain brand and a certain model number now is going to be $650, and everybody knows that's what you're going to get. So if you're not giving the detail to the contractor, whose fault is it? It's your fault as the borrower. Remember, you're the boss. And if you failed to provide adequate information about the materials that you want installed in your new house or your new purchase or your renovation project, then shame on you. Don't come after the fact complaining, well, that's a piece of garbage they put in there. Well, it might very well be, but you didn't specify. Now, a good consultant's going to try to specify at least a standard grade. We don't want the cheapest stuff in there, but we also don't necessarily need a sub-zero refrigerator or something like that. In fact, that might be considered a luxury item when luxury items are specifically forbid under the 203K program. I have seen some go in. We saw one guy that had a refrigerator that was beyond belief. I'd never seen one like it. It was an under counter. Under the kitchen counter was his refrigerator. He merely pushed a button and this refrigerator came out towards him and raised up so everything in the refrigerator could be seen easily at eye level. He'd take the things off that he wanted, push the button, and it drops back down, goes into the cupboard. And it's a refrigerator. So it's just fascinating to see some of the stuff that we're seeing out there. excuse me. But in any case, you're the boss. It's up to you to make sure that all this stuff happens the way you want it to. Your consultant is there to work with you to make sure that your desires are put down on paper. And one of the hardest things to do is the contractor getting paid. There's no upfront money. Well, in the most recent changes to the guideline, there is the ability to get some upfront money now. Most lenders, however, are maintaining their prerogative to create an overlay or what they call supplemental requirements that do not allow upfront money. So, careful, know your lender, ask the right questions, talk to a consultant first, find out who they recommend, who does the draws fast, who, you know, is getting these loans closed quickly. How long does it take to close a FHA 3K loan? Well, longer than it does to close a 203B. And I know I'm going to catch some flack from that from lenders. The only reason it takes longer is because they're trying to do everybody's job. They're doing their job. They're doing everybody's trying to do the consultant's job and telling him change this, do that, instead of taking the work as provided. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Engineer just said we're running out of time. So be with us next week at 1 p.m. till 2 California time, Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to hearing your questions. So far, there's not many people been brave enough to call in, but that'll change, I'm sure. In the meantime, thank you for the emails, the questions that you're emailing and sending to us. We appreciate that so much. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next Saturday or Sunday.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.